currently. I think this is a real earworm situation, isn't it? That song that is just doesn't leave you. You are listening to BBC Radio Sheffield with me, Kat Cowan. Now, in the news this week has been a warning that AI or artificial intelligence could lead to the extinction of humanity. And some experts think very powerful AI may have to be banned. Focus on the positives on Saturday morning on BBC Radio Sheffield, the end of humanity. AI, which basically means anything computers do that requires a human level of intelligence, has been around for decades. It affects all of our lives every day. Who doesn't love a chatbot? We love them, don't we? When you're trying to talk to, your gas supplier or whatever, and you get a chatbot that responds, no, this hasn't answered my question. Now governments, though, are looking at whether AI needs to be controlled. Does it? Should we? Should we all be scared? I very much am. Mick Marriott is the course leader for computer science with AI at Sheffield Hanley University. And Mick, maybe it's because I've watched an awful lot of sci-fi in my time, and generally the storyline is AI takes over and does try and destroy humanity. Should I be worried, or am I just being paranoid and ridiculous?
Good morning, Kat. Thank you for having me on the show to talk about this. I'm a massive sci-fi fan, just to put that out there.
Excellent.
I've watched all this stuff. I do think that is a big problem that we've got, that people have watched a lot of these films and think that it is the end of humanity. It's just around the corner. Terminator Judgment Day, we all know what happens there. I've seen on the BBC website even them quoting a 1983 film that probably before your time, but was very influential to me, the Matthew Broderick film War Games, where an AI, in effect, takes over the nuclear defence system of the US and triggers a nuclear war.
Oh.
It's a kids' film, to be fair.
Classic 80s kids' film, isn't it? Oh, yeah, nuclear destruction. The kids love that.
But it's just that false sense of jeopardy, I think, that there are risks to it, and that we have got to put protocols in place to protect ourselves from what it can do. But I personally think that there's more benefit to AI than negatives, as long as it's properly policed, properly regulated, and properly used.
Is part of the paranoia, though, you mentioned they're properly policed, properly regulated and properly used, maybe that we're not particularly confident in ourselves as we're not really backing ourselves as human beings in doing any of those things properly, because we do see, do we not, systems and technologies and industries that are not properly regulated and properly properly used. And so the fear is that, yeah, AI could be fantastically beneficial potentially to us and alleviate a lot of the tasks that we have to do ourselves currently and all of those things, and it could be wonderful, but it also has the potential to be awful. And the thing that will stop it is us being really, really good and working properly and doing what we should do, and we don't have a perfect track record for that.
Well, that's entirely correct. We've got a very good track record of just ignoring facts, ignoring regulations and laws. But I think we've got, as a society, we've got to be more positive about the benefits that this technology can bring. The changes it's going to make to the working world are immense. 60% of workers in the 1940s, the jobs we do today didn't exist. Yet in the 1940s, 50s and 60s, we were saying about the automation of the car industry, we're going to destroy it. That's not happened. People find new jobs. And if we can be working on, as employees, as workers, more rewarding tasks and letting AI do a lot of this work for us, isn't that a good thing? I would argue it is.
One of the things that I've been really kind of surprised by and has sort of, if I'm honest, fed into my paranoia is that we initially, like you just sort of laid out there, wouldn't it be lovely if AI was sort of able to take on tasks that aren't particularly fulfilling and rewarding and allowed us sort of more time to do jobs that we did really enjoy, that kind of human level kind of creativity, that kind of thing, and potentially also some more leisure time. But what's really shocked me recently are these sort of stories coming out about, AI writing films and being able to actually do the kind of creative stuff that kind of I thought would be left to human beings in this brave new world.
Well, it can create films. Whether or not they're any good is another matter. I mean, but let's be honest, humans create some really bad films, aren't they? Some really bad scripts. You know, you've only got to go on Netflix for a couple of hours and just experience that. But we have to look at, when we're using these tools, they are exactly that, a tool. So they're not a replacement for doing something. It's the right tool for the right job. And there's a lot of regulation and frameworks out there that people can reference and use, and are being heavily promoted within the industry. You know, is it safe to use ChatGPT in certain instances? So the sort of flow of that is, do you care what, if the output's true? No, use it then. But if you're writing legislation, perhaps you need a human view over what it's generating. If you're writing a system for a social care service, for example, you need somebody to be checking the processes that it's generating. And that's always been the case when we write these systems. I used to have to write these things in the former role. And you didn't just let somebody write it. There was always a check, a security and a safety check throughout that. So it's no different.
Are there the frameworks, though, in place in order to sort of put in the kind of control measures that you've sort of talked about? I suppose I'm thinking about, you know, if you've got a multinational corporation and you find a way of using AI in a way that basically means that you're able to sort of cut a lot of jobs and that kind of thing. You're a big corporation, and you know, are there the sort of powers that be, as, and in terms of governments, are they able to kind of stop that happening? Are governments able to, and do they have the sort of intelligence know-how to stop developments of AI that could lead the technology into that kind of realm of sort of sentience where they can start? I mean, this is what we're all frightened of. Yeah. We're frightened of the robots going, those human beings are no good, look at them, they create wars and they create pollution. It would be better for the Earth, on the balance of probabilities, yeah, we've run the numbers to get rid of them. That's what we're scared of. Can government stop that happening?
You don't need the AI to run that simulation, do you?
No.
I'm really about that, and I'm not going to make a comment on the suitability of our current government either. I'm getting away from that one. But there is the European Union AI Act. I know we're not part of the European Union anymore, but we saw what happened by the implementation of the General Data Protection Regulation in 2018 and how that changed everything we did. Before 2018, you went on a website, how often did it say, did you get asked whether or not you wanted your cookies?
Mm.
You didn't, now you do. So there's that in place, and the UK government is implementing their own regulations that are coming out later this year, but it is more based around promoting it for business. So these are the benefits we can get from it.
Right.
But the key principles of those, there's five key principles within that act that the government's proposing, and that comes from the UNESCO framework that has 10 overarching principles, such as safety, security and robustness, transparency and explainability, fairness, accountability and governance, contestability and redress. So that protects people from the negative impact, well, potentially, protect people from the negative impacts of AI, because we're not going to see AI taking over massive systems immediately. Mm. It will take over things like e-payment, like council tax.
Okay.
That's what it's going to be used for. Councils are going to be all over this because it's going to save them millions of pounds.
So, I know you probably think this is an inappropriate question, but I know you're a sci-fi nut. Is there a sci-fi future that you think? don't say Battlestar Galactica, because that's not good either.
Original or new?
Either that you think is going to become closest to what we're likely to experience. Anything, go on.
Well, I hope it's not Wally, but I'd like it to be something along the lines of Star Trek.
Okay. Star Trek, yeah.
I'm a massive Star Wars fan, for clarity, but I don't discriminate. But I think that sort of pseudo-utopian world where healthcare is easy and free to all, where people have meaningful roles, where currencies, we don't need to work to live.
And teleportation, really, that's the... which basically sorts out the whole climate crisis.
Well, Well, no, but we need to get off Earth for that. But anyway, that's
okay. That's another. We'll book you for a few months' time. We'll talk about teleportation. We'll book you for that. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Mick. I think that's the best. Star Trek, not Star Wars, and definitely not Battlestar Galactica. BBC.